Chapter 38. The trailer next door was an identical metal box, but better appointed inside. There was carpet, the armchairs were leather, and the desk was mahogany. There were pictures on the walls, all of them dime store prints of Jesus. In all of them, Jesus had blue eyes and wore pale blue robes and had long blonde hair and a neat blonde beard. He looked more like a Malibu surfer than a Jew from 2,000 years ago. On the corner of the desk was a Bible. Behind the desk was a man Reacher assumed was Mr. Thurman. He was wearing a three-piece suit made of wool. He looked to be close to 70 years old. He looked pink and plump and prosperous. He had white hair, worn moderately long and combed and teased into waves. He had a big, patient smile on his face. He looked like he had just stepped out of a television studio. He could have been a game show host or a televangelist. Reacher could picture him, clutching his chest and promising God would fell him with a heart attack unless the audience sent him money. And the audience would, Reacher thought. With a face like that, the idiots would bury him under fives and tens. The foreman waited for a nod, then left again. Reacher sat down in a leather armchair and said, "I'm Jack Reacher. You've got 5 minutes." The guy behind the desk said, "I'm Jerry Thurman. I'm very pleased to meet you." Reacher said, "Now you've got 4 minutes and 56 seconds. "Actually, sir, I've got as long as it takes." Thurman's voice was soft and mellifluous. His cheeks quivered as he spoke. Too much fat. Not enough muscle tone. Not an attractive sight. "You've been making trouble in my town, and now you're trespassing on my business premises."
"Your fault," Reacher said. "If you hadn't sent those goons to the restaurant, I would have eaten a quick lunch and moved on days ago. No reason to stay. You're not exactly running the Magic Kingdom here."
"I don't aim to. This is an industrial enterprise."
"So I noticed."
"But you knew that days ago. I'm sure the people in Hope were quick to tell you all about us. Why poke around?"
"I'm an inquisitive person."
"Evidently," Thurman said. "Which raised our suspicions a little. We have proprietary processes here, and methodologies of our own invention which might all be called industrial secrets. Espionage could hurt our bottom line."
"I'm not interested in metal recycling."
"We know that now."
"You checked me out?"
Thurman nodded. "We made inquiries, last night and this morning. You are exactly what you claimed to be in Judge Gardner's vagrancy hearing, a passerby, a nobody, who used to be in the Army 10 years ago.
"That's me."
"But you're a very persistent nobody. You made a ludicrous request to be sworn in as a deputy, after taking a badge from a man in a fight."
"Which he started, on your orders."
"So we ask ourselves, why are you so keen to know what happens here?"
"And I ask myself, why are you so keen to hide it?"
Thurman shook his great white head. "We're not hiding anything. And you're no danger to me commercially, so I'll prove it to you. You've seen the town, you've met some of the folks who live here, and now I'm going to give you a tour of the plant. I'll be your personal guide and escort. You can see everything and ask me anything."
They went in Thurman's personal vehicle, which was a Chevy Tahoe the same style and vintage as the security vehicles, but painted black, not white. Same modest interior, a working truck. The keys were already in the ignition. Habit, probably, and safe enough. Nobody would use the boss's car without permission. Thurman drove himself, and Reacher sat next to him in the front. They were alone in the vehicle. They headed to the west wall, away from the vehicle gate, moving slow. Thurman started talking immediately. He described the various office functions, which in order of appearance were operations management and invoicing and purchasing, and he pointed out the first aid station and described its facilities and capabilities and made a mildly pointed comment about the people Reacher had put in there. Then they moved on to the line of storage tanks, and he described their capacities, which were 5,000 gallons each, and their contents, which were gasoline for the Tahoes and some of the other trucks, and diesel for the cranes and the crushers and the heavier equipment, and a liquid chemical called trichloroethylene, which was an essential metal degreaser, and oxygen and acetylene for the cutting torches, and kerosene which fueled the furnaces. Reacher was bored rigid after 60 seconds. He tuned Thurman out and looked at things for himself. Didn't see much, just metal and people working with it. He got the general idea. Old stuff was broken up and melted down, and ingots were sold to factories where new stuff was made, and eventually the new stuff became old stuff and showed up again to get broken up and melted down once more. Not rocket science. Close to a mile later, they arrived at the internal partition, and Reacher saw that a truck had been parked across the gate, as if to hide it. Beyond the wall, no more sparks were flying and no more smoke was rising. Activity seemed to have been abandoned for the day. He asked, "What happens back there?" Thurman said, "That's our junkyard. Stuff that's too far gone to work with goes in there."
"How do you get it in with that truck in the way?"
"We can move the truck if we need to, but we don't need to often. Our processes have gotten very developed. Not much defeats us anymore."
"Are you a chemist or a metallurgist or what?"
Thurman said, "I'm a born-again Christian American and a businessman. That's how I would describe myself, in that order of importance. But I hire the best talent I can find at the executive level. Our research and development is excellent."
Reacher nodded and said nothing. Thurman turned the wheel and steered a slow curve and headed back north, close to the east wall. The jaws of a giant crusher were closing on about 10 wrecked cars at once. Beyond it, a furnace door swung open, and men ducked away from the blast of heat. A crucible moved slowly on an overhead track, full of liquid metal, all bubbling and crusting. Thurman asked,
"Are you born again?"
Reacher said, "Once was enough for me."
"I'm serious."
"So am I."
"You should think about it."
"My father used to say, why be born again when you can just grow up?"
"Is he no longer with us?"
"He died a long time ago."
"He's in the other place, then, with an attitude like that."
"He's in a hole in the ground in Arlington Cemetery."
"Another veteran?"
"A Marine."
"Thank you for his service."
"Don't thank me. I had nothing to do with it."
Thurman said,
"You should think about getting your life in order, you know, before it's too late. Something might happen. The Book of Revelation says the time is at hand."
"As it has every day since it was written nearly 2,000 years ago. Why would it be true now, when it wasn't before?"
"There are signs," Thurman said, "and the possibility of precipitating events."
He said it primly and smugly, and with a degree of certainty, as if he had regular access to privileged insider information. Reacher said nothing in reply. They drove on past a small group of tired men wrestling with a mountain of tangled steel. Their backs were bent and their shoulders were slumped. Not yet 8 o'clock in the morning, Reacher thought. More than 10 hours still to go.
"God watches over them," Thurman said.
"You sure?"
"He tells me so."
"Does he watch over you, too?"
"He knows what I do."
"Does he approve?"
"He tells me so."
"Then why is there a lightning rod on your church?"
Thurman didn't answer that. He just
clamped his mouth shut and his cheeks drooped lower than his jawbone. They arrived at the mouth of the cattle chute leading to the personnel gate. He stopped the truck and jiggled a stick into park and sat back in his seat.
"Ha! Seen enough?"
"More than enough," Reacher said.
"Then I'll bid you goodbye. I imagine our paths won't cross again."
He tucked his elbow in and offered his hand, sideways and awkwardly. Reacher shook it. It felt soft and warm and boneless, like a child's balloon filled with water. Then Reacher opened his door and slid out, and walked through the dog-legged chute and back to the acres of parking. Every window in Vaughn's truck was smashed.